Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
It's a slippery slope when we think it's okay to suspend the Constitution of the United States in order to make a political point or statement.
As the Trump administration ramps up immigration raids across the country, cities are pushing back. We'll go to Newark, New Jersey, and Chicago, then to the Congo, where Rwandan-backed M23 fighters have entered the eastern Congolese city of Goma.
Le peuple congolais ne cédera ni à la résignation ni à l'injustice.
The Congolese people will not cede to this injustice. We will continue to defend our rights, protect our territory, and demand respect and sovereignty. History will judge the world's response to this call.
We'll also look at the civil war in Sudan, where a drone struck a hospital Friday, killing at least 70 people. And finally, Holocaust survivors mark 80 years since the liberation of Auschwitz. We'll speak to the Israeli-American Holocaust scholar Roz Siegel about Gaza and his latest article, Genocide Denial in Holocaust Studies. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Justice Department Monday fired over a dozen officials who work with Special Counsel Jack Smith on now-dismissed criminal investigations into Donald Trump. Acting Attorney General James McHenry said they could not be trusted to faithfully implement Trump's agenda. Meanwhile, Ed Martin, the interim Trump-appointed U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., launched an investigation into prosecutors who brought obstruction charges against some 250 January 6 Capitol rioters. Those charges ended up being tossed after a Supreme Court ruling last year. In related news, the Justice Department has removed a database from its website, which detailed crimes and convictions from the January 6 Capitol insurrection. Workers at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have been ordered to stop working with the World Health Organization immediately. The hasty directive came as a surprise to CDC workers, many of whom are working on crucial public health projects aimed at preventing major outbreaks of Marburg virus, Mpox, and bird flu. Trump's day one executive order withdrawing the U.S. from the WHO requires a one-year notice, the approval of Congress, and for the U.S. to still fulfill its financial commitment for the fiscal year. On Monday, President Trump signed four executive orders aimed at reshaping the military, including reinstating 8,000 military members who were relieved of duty for refusing to get a COVID-19 vaccine. He also issued an order banning DEI, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion, from the military, in order to build a missile defense system modeled on Israel's Iron Dome, and an order to review the Pentagon's policy on transgender military members in what's believed to be the first step towards a ban on transgender military members. The acting head of the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, issued an agency memo ordering a pause to federal aid, including grants and loans, but exempting Medicaid and Social Security benefits. According to the leaked memo, the pause includes, quote, financial assistance for foreign aid, non-governmental organizations, DEI, woke gender ideology, and the Green New Deal, unquote. Senator Patty Murray and Congressmember Rosa DeLauro, top Democratic members of their respective appropriations committees, said in a letter to the OMB, quote, the scope of what you're ordering is breathtaking, unprecedented, and will have devastating consequences across the country, unquote. The Navajo Nation reports at least 15 Native Americans in Arizona and New Mexico have been stopped by immigration officers at their homes and workplaces over the past week and asked to produce proof of citizenship. The stops came as President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, said he plans to continue immigration raids without apology. ICE says it arrested 1,179 people on Sunday, the largest number ever on a single day by either Trump administration. Over the weekend, Homan and other administration officials visited Chicago to personally oversee ICE raids that have terrorized immigrant communities. His visit came after Chicago Public Schools said they would not cooperate with ICE's plans to conduct raids at schools. At least seven other major public school districts across the U.S. have issued similar statements. We'll go to Chicago after headlines. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum says Mexico has received 4,000 deportees from the U.S. since Trump took office and that non-Mexican citizens were among those deported. That's a reversal from Sheinbaum's position last Friday when her administration refused to allow a U.S. deportation flight to land in Mexico. On Monday, President Sheinbaum said Central American nations could soon reach similar agreements with the U.S. to accept deportees from other countries.
We're in a permanent dialogue, as they are with Central American countries. So it's not that we already have a fully defined coordination, but we're in dialogue, which is fundamental and very important.
The New York Times reports Department of Homeland Security officials have halted a range of programs that allowed immigrants to settle in the United States temporarily, including asylum seekers from Cuba, Haiti, and Venezuela. The Trump administration's also paused Uniting for Ukraine, a Biden-era program allowing Ukrainians with financial sponsors to enter the United States temporarily. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, intense fighting is continuing between M23 soldiers and government forces after the M23 captured parts of the key city of Goma, the capital of North Kivu. The Congolese government said bombs are being dropped on hospitals and camps for displaced people with the goal of terrorizing local populations. Hospitals are overwhelmed. Residents are fleeing Goma in their thousands. France is pushing for a UN Security Council resolution explicitly naming Rwanda as the backer of the M23 forces, an assessment backed by the UN and many countries, including the U.S. Protests have erupted across the DRC, including in the capital, Kinshasa, where demonstrations took place on college campuses and in front of the U.S., French, Ugandan, Kenyan and Rwandan embassies, nations accused of complicity in the protracted and devastating conflict in the DRC. A coalition of civil society groups gathered Monday in Bukavu, in eastern Congo, decrying the UN Security Council's failure to issue a binding resolution a day earlier.
Despite calls for a ceasefire and the immediate withdrawal of Rwandan troops from Congolese soil, the troops continue to advance. The humanitarian situation is catastrophic and concerning, as thousands of displaced people fleeing the conflict are facing an unprecedented crisis.
We'll have more on the unfolding crisis in the Democratic Republic of the Congo with the Chief Africa Correspondent Declan Walsh later in the broadcast. Israel's military has carried out fresh airstrikes on Gaza, killing two Palestinians, including a child, despite the ceasefire agreement signed with Hamas earlier this month. Five-year-old Najah Mohammed Al-Amoudi was killed, three others wounded Monday, when the Israeli army shelled a horse cart near the Nusayrat refugee camp. Separately, a Palestinian man was killed, several others wounded, when Israeli forces bombed a bulldozer in Nusayrat. Israel's violations of the ceasefire came as tens of thousands of Palestinians continue to march north along Gaza's coastline to return to the ruins of their former neighborhoods left devastated by Israel's 15-month-long assault. Gaza officials say more than 300,000 people crossed into northern Gaza in the 9 days since the ceasefire took effect. Amidst the devastated landscape were scenes of overwhelming emotion as family members reunited, many of them after being separated for over a year. This is Mohammed Aldi, who reunited with his parents and brother in Gaza City Monday.
Better than the whole world. It is a great victory to see my mother, father, and brother. Praise to God. I have been away from them for 1 year and 4 months. I was alone in the north here. They were all in the south.
Praise to God. He brought us back safe and sound. Our Lord gave us victory. May God reassure us about all the Muslims in the world. Praise be to God, Lord of the worlds.
Press freedom groups are demanding an investigation and full accountability following the murder of Mexican journalist Alejandro Gallegos, whose body was found in Tabasco State this weekend. Gallegos ran the news site La Voz del Pueblo, the voice of the people. His loved ones and colleagues gathered for his funeral Sunday.
It's hard not to mix politics with day-to-day life, especially in a state such as Tabasco, where we breathe politics. We need our government to get involved in taking actions that provide safety. They should do their work. We really need to get from words to actions.
Civil rights groups have announced a boycott of Target stores across the U.S. beginning February 1st after the retail giant said it would end diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI initiatives, aimed at promoting and hiring more women and people from protected minority groups. Target's also ending its goal of sourcing products from business owned by people of color, women, LGBTQ plus people, veterans, and people with disabilities. Target follows other major U.S. corporations like Walmart and McDonald's that have recently shut down DEI initiatives that are under attack by President Trump and his allies. Meanwhile, shareholders at Costco have voted down a proposal to end DEI at the big box retail giant. The move drew praise from some civil rights activists, including Reverend Al Sharpton, who led a buy-in at a Costco in Harlem, New York, over the weekend. This comes as 18,000 unionized Costco workers in five states have authorized a strike Friday night at midnight unless management agrees to a contract providing better wages, paid family leave, sick time, and limits to workplace surveillance. In more labor news, workers at Philadelphia Whole Foods just voted to become the Amazon-owned grocery chain's first unionized store. The major worker victory came despite Whole Foods management launching a union bus campaign threatening and intimidating pro-union workers in violation of U.S. labor law. In business news, share prices of U.S. high-tech companies plummeted Monday, wiping out $1.2 trillion in market capitalization after the Chinese startup DeepSeek launched its newest artificial intelligence model, rapidly overtaking ChatGPT as the top free download on Apple's App Store. DeepSeek says its model is far cheaper and efficient to operate than leading AI models from U.S. companies. Shares of chipmaker NVIDIA plummeted by a combined $593 billion Monday, by far the largest ever one-day stock market loss for any company in history. U.S. power, utility, and natural gas companies also saw steep losses Monday as DeepSeek's successes cast doubt on a projected surge in demand for energy-guzzling data centers. And the Palestinian-American journalist Ali Abu Nima was freed from detention Monday evening and deported from Switzerland after a three-day ordeal that rights groups and UN experts blasted as a major attack on free speech. Ali Abu Nima is founder of the online news site Electronic Intifada. He was arrested and jailed ahead of a speaking engagement in Zurich. He wrote in a social media post after leaving Switzerland, quote, "My crime? Being a journalist who speaks up for Palestine and against Israel's genocide and settler colonial savagery and those who aid and abet it," Ali Abu Nima wrote. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we're going to stay in Chicago. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, says it arrested more than 1,000 people after detaining another 1,000 on Sunday in raids that immigrant communities and their allies say violate the Constitution and are being carried out in retaliation against sanctuary cities. Newly sworn-in Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem is in New York City now on an ICE raid that was covered live, and agents have been told to be camera ready. She was live tweeting the raid. Soon we'll go to Newark, where Mayor Ross Baraka denounced a warrantless ICE raid Thursday that detained a U.S. veteran and other U.S. citizens. But we begin today's show in Chicago, where ICE officially launched, quote, enhanced targeted operations Sunday with the TV personality Dr. Phil joining Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, and streaming the immigration raids live by about 10 teams of about 10 federal agents each. Nearly half those arrested Sunday had no criminal record. ICE says collateral arrests will continue as it claims to target people who are dangerous. On Friday, school officials in Chicago refused to allow agents into an elementary school who were actually not ICE agents, but from the U.S. Secret Service. This comes as four Chicago-based immigrant rights groups have sued to stop the raids, and Chicago City Council voted this month not to lift limits on involvement in federal immigration enforcement actions. On Monday, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee launched an investigation of Chicago and several other sanctuary cities. We go right now to Chicago, where we're joined by Dulce Guzman, executive director of Alianza America. She's also a recipient of DACA, that's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Dulce, thank you for joining us. Can you talk about what's happening in your city?
Yes, thank you for inviting me. In the city and surrounding suburbs, there is a lot of palpable fear and anxiety among families. As you just said, there was over 1,100 ICE arrests across the country, and we still don't know about how many of those were from Chicago. What we have heard from families is that many are choosing to stay home. Many are choosing to not send their kids to school. Several businesses are reporting that they're seeing less business people coming in. So there's a lot of fear and anxiety that is spreading for the same reason that we know that ICE is not only targeting people with criminal backgrounds, but they're targeting people that have been here for many years who have not committed any crime, who are our neighbors.
And Dulce, even those that they claim are folks with criminal backgrounds, apparently many are actually minor infractions. There was a report of a man in Waukegan who was picked up by immigration authorities for deportation, who apparently had who'd been in the country for 20 years and had two DUIs, driving under the influence convictions in the past. What about these minor crimes being treated under federal law as aggravated felonies?
Yeah, I think that this administration is trying to make a point about public safety when we know that this is not about public safety. If this really was about public safety and legality, we would not have seen the 1,500 pardons of people that stormed the Capitol and caused violent crimes on police officers. I believe that this is a very high media strategy that's being used to elevate what this administration is trying to push, which is a white supremacist agenda.
And also, Illinois does not permit detention of people who are subject to potential deportation. So where are the people that ICE is picking up in Chicago and the surrounding areas? Where are they being sent?
As of now, we don't know, but we suspect that they might be going to nearby states like Indiana, where Indiana does allow detention centers.
Dulce, we want to go across the country from Chicago back here on the East Coast to Newark. Dulce Guzman is with Executive Director of Alianza Americas. In Newark, New Jersey, another sanctuary city, which is in a state where nearly one in four residents are foreign-born, nearly half of all children are part of immigrant families. 3 days after President Trump's inauguration, ICE agents raided a seafood depot in Newark without a warrant, taking three people into custody, including a U.S. military veteran. This is the Newark mayor, Ross Baraka, condemning the raids.
It's a slippery slope when we think it's okay to suspend the Constitution of the United States in order to make a political point or statement. And if we allow people to identify us or put us in categories of criminal or any other thing just by the way we look, then we're going back to a time that was very dangerous in this country, specifically for people that looked like me.
For more, we're joined by Amy Torres, executive director of the New Jersey Alliance for Immigrant Justice. She was on the ground soon after the raid took place, and you're the largest immigrant group in New Jersey. Talk about what happened. Describe the scene for us in Ironbound, one of the most diverse areas of Newark.
Sure. I mean, I think it's important to understand what the Ironbound is. This has been an immigrant enclave and hub for ever, you know, starting with the Portuguese whaling industry, something that is so archaic, it's like outside of our living memory, right? So this is not the sort of like new arrivals, the criminal gangs, all of the things that this administration says that they're targeting. The other thing is that, you know, ICE has called what they're doing across the country targeted enforcement operations. They refuse to call the detention centers camps. They refuse to call deportations anything but expulsions. Now they're refusing to call raids anything but raids, right? But what we're seeing is that ICE officers stormed this workplace. They immediately announced, do you want this announcement in Spanish or Portuguese? If this is a targeted enforcement operation, don't ICE officers know what they're enforcing? Don't they know what languages they're speaking if they're targeting certain people for arrest? And if this is such a targeted enforcement operation, why are U.S. citizens and veterans being interrogated and detained on the spot and having their credentials questioned? I think it's really important above all else to understand what our constitutional rights are.
Did they have a warrant?
They didn't produce a warrant, and subsequently they haven't produced one since. So, look, understanding what our rights are, presidential administrations come and go, right? ICE directives come and go. The Constitution is here to stay, and our constitutional rights are here to stay. And so long as you understand that unless an ICE officer produces a warrant with your name clearly and correctly spelled and signed by a judge, you do not need to answer their questions. If you understand that, you can also develop an analysis that everything that ICE officers do outside of that warrant is a deception tactic. It's a manipulation. Just like they use the theater of fear and panic to intimidate people into giving more information than they should. And that is how ICE operates in our community. They operate, one of their most effective tools is fear and panic.
And Amy, I wanted to ask you about this, the highly publicized nature of these raids, with having reporters and celebrities accompany the raids and having them all filmed, when the reality is that even at the rate of 1,000 arrests a day, that would take the Trump administration in 1 year. They have 365,000 people arrested. It would take them 30 years, even at this rate, to be able to deport all the people they claim they are aiming to deport.
Yeah, well, I think two things. If Dr. Phil can film ICE officers during an arrest, there's no reason that you and I can't either. If you are a bystander and you see ICE in your neighborhood, you see ICE on your block, you take out your phone and you start filming, because if Dr. Phil can do it, you better bet that you can do it too. The other thing to keep in mind is that this is an administration that is built for the billionaire class. This, yes, ICE's current directives are built on racism. It's built on the post-9/11 nationalism that bore Department of Homeland Security to begin with. But this is also a gift to private prison corporations. That's very true here in New Jersey, where the world's largest private prison corporation, CoreCivic, is looking to expand its footprint and to challenge our ban on immigration detention. It's true in Newark, where GEO Group, one of the other largest private prison corporations, is looking to expand here in Newark, New Jersey, and in other cities across the state. So, yes, whether it's 100 arrests today or 1,000 arrests today, it is built on fear, so that if we can't detain people for profit, we are detaining them in the isolation of their own homes. We are segregating them from society. We are making people so fearful that they're withdrawing their kids from school. They're too fearful to see a doctor. They're too fearful to go to their pharmacy. You know, outside of Newark, we had a pharmacy raid in Paterson here in New Jersey just this weekend. And what that does is segregate society so that if the federal administration can't physically remove you. You are physically removing yourself into a shadow economy, into places where you can't stand up or you don't feel confident standing up for your rights. And I think the important thing for folks to remember who are not from the immigrant community is that what we learned from Newark with the interrogation of a U.S. citizen and the interrogation of a U.S. military veteran is that it's not enough to have the privileged status. Simply existing in the same place as immigrants makes you guilty by association. ICE officers are not going to discriminate on whether you look or sound like a citizen, whether you are able to produce documents that show that you are a citizen or a military veteran. Simply being in proximity to their target, which is immigrant communities, is enough to arrest and detain you too.
Amy Torres, I want to get your response to Democratic Congressmember Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey signing a letter condemning private immigration detention in New Jersey. But he also voted to support the Laken Riley Act, which will fill more ICE jails.
Look, I think a lot of folks have spent time asking immigrant communities, how are you feeling? What does this moment feel like? What are communities saying? I want to know how Josh Gottheimer feels. I want to know how other people, other politicians in power feel, knowing that, you know, Trump was first elected to office nearly 10 years ago. It's been this long that immigrant communities have been telling people in power how we feel. I want to know if they feel shame. I want to know if they feel disgrace. Do they feel guilt? Because I'm tired of talking about how our communities feel. What is our reaction? They know how we feel, but we need to hear from them if they have taken a commitment to public office, if they've taken a commitment to public service. If this is not the hill that they're going to die on, they picked the wrong fight.
Yeah, I'd like to bring in Dulce Guzman from Alianza Americas again. Dulce, how have you seen the elected officials in Chicago responding to this crisis, especially considering that Trump's border czar, Homan, has actually said of both the governor and the mayor that they suck, and if they don't, and if they try to impede his work, he could prosecute them.
Mayor Johnson and Governor Pritzker are standing up for immigrants. They're reiterating their commitment to protecting our communities by enforcing our trust laws, enforcing our sanctuary city ordinance here in Chicago. They have been speaking up for our immigrant communities because they know that we belong here. They know that we contribute to our neighborhoods. We help grow our economies. So I think that we've had a very welcoming response both from Mayor Johnson and Governor Pritzker, but we need more elected officials to speak up on our behalf. As Amy was saying, it's not enough for us to be telling people how we feel. We've been doing that for decades. It is a time for us to show up for our neighbors, to speak up about the economic, cultural, and social contributions that immigrant families make to our cities.
We want to thank you both for being with us. Of course, this is an issue we will continue to cover, and we will be doing an interview in Spanish after the show and post it at our Spanish website, which you can link to at democracynow.org. Dulce Guzman, Executive Director of Alianza America, joining us from Chicago, and Amy Torres, Executive Director of the New Jersey Alliance for Immigrant Justice. Coming up, we look at the Democratic Republic of Congo, where Rwandan-backed M23 fighters have entered the eastern Congolese city of Goma. And we look at what's happening in Sudan. What does the global gold industry have to do with it? Stay with us.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado y en las multitudes del hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el oído que en todo su ancho. Cerraba noche y días, grillos y canarios.
Mercedes Sosa singing Gracias a la Vida, Thanks to Life. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We turn now to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Fighting's continuing in the eastern city of Goma between Congolese forces and Rwandan-backed M23 fighters who've seized at least parts of Goma. The fighting has killed at least 17 people with over 370 injured. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has called on Rwandan forces to immediately withdraw from the DRC and end its support for M23 as fears grow of a wider regional war. On Sunday, Congolese foreign minister called the unfolding situation in Congo one of its darkest periods in recent history.
Since January 6, 2025, these illegal forces have intensified their attacks, taking over strategic localities such as Katale, Masisi, displacing millions of civilians and destroying vital infrastructure and committing massive human rights violations. These acts are not only attacks against the people of the Congo, but also against the fundamental principles that govern peaceful coexistence between the nations.
Earlier, UN officials in Geneva said the humanitarian conditions in Goma are worsening. Jens Lack is a spokesperson for the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs.
The humanitarian situation in and around Goma remains extremely worrying.